This is Rewards of Roadside Nature Watching, part of an archive broadcast, The Nature of Things, originally aired on August 14th, 1987.
Within a couple of weeks, we'll begin to see the first signs of fall coloration. Like lighted sunrise candles, the sumac and the woodbine provide a gentle reminder of the inevitability of the seasonal cycle. These bursts of fire, which punctuate the early hedgerows, are the essence of the summer sunlight energy cycle. It's the sun that provides the energy to drive their phenomenal growth, and the sunlight that draws forth the heat of their scarlet color. Surely it's a synergistic relationship. These plants are also harbingers. Ezekiel, with his wheels within wheels, reminds us that for every time there is a season, a time for sowing and a time for reaping. The brilliant sumac is a reminder that the time for reaping is imminent. But these are more things of style than substance. If they were all the sumac had to offer, it might not justify this much attention. Beyond this, however, sumac has significance as a food source to man and wildlife, as a participant in the pageantry of plant succession, and as an indicator of change, a red flag, so to speak. Sumac is a member of the Anacardiaceae, one of the most interesting of plant families, both economically and botanically. Within its small group of a couple of genera and maybe a dozen species are included smoke tree, cashew, pistachio, and its near relative, genus mate, so to speak, poison ivy. There are four species to which the tag sumac is usually attached: dwarf or winged sumac, smooth sumac, staghorn sumac, with which we are here concerned, and poison sumac. The latter is probably more closely related to poison ivy than to the other sumacs. Its fruit is white rather than red, and it is the only one of the four which need be avoided, for it does cause a severe rash if touched. None of the red-berried sumac do that. Let's look at the commonest sumac hereabouts, staghorn sumac, so-called because its new growth is densely pubescent, furry, resembling a deer's antler in velvet. Its fruit is a mass of fuzzy red berries compactly aggregated to form an inverted red cone. The seed is a small brown bean contained within the red berry. The hairs which provide that fuzzy covering are acetic in nature, and the ripe fruit will make a tasty soft drink if steeped in cold water for 10 to 15 minutes. The resulting flavored liquid is then strained and sweetened to provide a lemony drink. There are other uses for the plant too. The young shoots consist of a thin-walled cylinder of wood surrounding a large pithy core. This core can be reamed out to produce a hollow pipe or straw. One of the commonest uses in olden times was as spiles for tapping maple trees. The roots and woody branches are sometimes used for ornamental craft work, providing attractive wood grain which does not require stain. It also had some use for ornamental plantings, but it's too scraggly and too aggressive for most people's taste. It's when viewed through the eyes of wildlife that sumac shows its true dimensions. It is the winter manna for wildlife, hardly appreciated when other food is available, but most often resorted to when all else fails in late winter or earliest spring. One wonders how many generations of robins or bluebirds have survived because of the availability of sumac during late season blizzards. The list of birds and mammals which eat the fruit with regularity is impressive. Grouse, pheasant, turkey, bobwhite quail, bluebird, cardinal, catbird, crow, blue jay, flicker, grosbeak, junco, mockingbird, phoebe, robin, thrush, thrasher, and chipmunk. An hour spent watching a well-endowed sumac copse can provide real pleasures in wildlife viewing. It is a sumac copse beside the headquarters building at Baltimore Woods that brings the pileated woodpecker into view of the workroom windows with regularity, December through March. That alone justifies its existence. The bark and twigs are also attractive to cottontail, varying hair, deer, and moose. Now to the role of the sumac in plant succession. The sumac is no friend of meadowlark, bobolink, grasshopper, sparrow, because it is a persistent invader of the abandoned crop fields. It seems to make no distinction in terms of soil fertility. 10 years is about all that is required for sumac to turn sunny wheat fields into shaded developing woods. What could be more American than that, you may say, the aggressive overachiever? Well, with the extirpation of field plants comes the disappearance of insects, reptiles, birds, and mammals adapted to open conditions. For anyone who wishes to maintain a balance of cover, it can turn from advocate to adversary in a matter of years. Control it early or it will take over, as it is now doing at Baltimore Woods and Rice Creek. That's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.